Hi, my name is Amberly, and I have the privilege of serving as one of our executive pastors here at Transformation Church. We just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has a word for you, so let's jump into this amazing message.
Today, we are in week 3 of a series we're calling Help Me, Kingdom. Now, we've been singing about the kingdom, D-O-M, but the title of this series is Kingdom, D-U-M-B. Because the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the message of the kingdom, most of us have been king what? Dumb. We've been ignorant of the truth that Jesus spoke about when he came to this earth. Now, I have to apologize on behalf of all pastors, preachers, your uncle that used to tell you Bible scriptures, your Sunday school teacher. This concept of the kingdom is not something you can pick up your Bible 5 minutes before you get ready to present it and then be able to explain it. So David and Goliath, people who ain't saved use David and Goliath as a story to explain their point. You know, it's just like the Bulls in 98. And the team, David and Goliath, like everybody uses these analogies because it's very on the surface able to be explained. The concept of the kingdom takes, we found out last week, seeking. So when we start talking about these concepts, I need everybody to do what Apostle Kendrick Lamar asked us to do, is sit down, finish it, be humble. Y'all didn't even want to finish it like, do I? Because if you do not approach this huge topic of the kingdom with humility, you will miss the things that God is trying to show you. I don't care if you pastor for 50 years. There's something else you can learn about the kingdom. I don't care if you help write the Bible. Paul goes on to say that he's still finding out the mysteries of the what? Kingdom. So I need all of us, all my Bible scholars and religious people, to just calm down. I need you to calm down for a second because you will miss what God's trying to do in you trying to defend what you've been taught, even if you didn't know it was true. Oh, God. Can I tell you what the kingdom is not? This ain't in my notes, but I feel like I need to tell you. The kingdom is not a religion. Write it down. The kingdom is not a religion. Religion is man's attempt to try to fulfill a void that it is missing for the kingdom. So what we try to do is, maybe if I raise my hands at this degree, or maybe it's this one, or it's giving this much money, or maybe it's twirling, or maybe it's giving to the poor, or maybe, how many things can I do? But we were called human beings, not human doings. And all religion does is make you do. And that's why most people who don't believe, who are agnostic or atheist, they like, we confused. Because all the religions saying the same thing. Christians say do this. Hindus say do this. Muslims and people that worship Buddha, they say do this. The kingdom doesn't say do this, it says be this. Oh God. In the kingdom, I'm not doing, I am being. And so what I have to help you understand is I'm not giving you, because some people have heard this message like, so what are we supposed to do? Past 2 weeks, what am I supposed to do? No. Who are you supposed to? That is a completely different approach to the kingdom. And for many of us, for decades, me over 20 years, I've been trying to figure out what to do to earn God's favor. What to do to not go to hell. Y'all gonna leave me out here by myself? What to do to stop lusting? What to do to make sure God blesses my finances? What to... Instead of who to... be. Oh God, okay. So in this series, I'm calling you to back to a place of being instead of doing. Whenever you are just being, the do comes naturally. I've been being myself for a long time. And when I just be, what I do just does. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Have you ever met somebody who's trying hard? It's like, dang, that's uncomfortable for both of us. It's like, ooh, like, but have you ever met somebody that is they just are? And it's like, I don't even like people who are like that. But they are so themselves. I see. I get, I don't like that, but I get it. God's saying, when is the church going to stop doing church? And actually, they will be the church. When are my sons and daughters going to stop doing ministry? And they will just be the ministry. You don't gotta come to an outreach event. You just gotta meet me. Oh, God. Okay. And that's where the kingdom gets confusing, because you're still trying to figure out what to do. And that's why every week I'm systematically trying to break down the walls of ignorance that all of us have about the kingdom. And I want to shed light progressively into this thing that allows us to embrace, watch this, who we already are. We are more than finding out about the kingdom. We're discovering. Y'all got to listen to my words very clearly. I'm not trying to find something externally. I'm trying to uncover something this earth suit tried to make me forget was on the inside of me. The kingdom is in here. No. I know you don't see it yet because it's covered by fear and depression and it's covered by perversion and it's covered by low self-esteem and it's covered by wrong doctrine. But I promise you, I'm about to be transformed by the renewing of my mind and I am going to discover what's already in there. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, it's already in there. Find one more neighbor that's not as nice as the one you picked first and say, it's already in there. Okay, all right. The reason I had to call this series Kingdom is because, honestly, this message is not really known about, but it is the only message that Jesus preached. And I know people's religious self struggle with that, okay? But I'm going to prove it to you right now. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Because I need to first talk to the people who have been in this series for a couple weeks and you feel down. Like, dang, man, I wish somebody would have told me earlier. I wish, man, I would have known about the kingdom. I wasted so much of my life. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Stop that. Jesus confronted that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Watch what it says. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means if you're at the back of the class right now, you're going to be able to get this before the people who have had all the years of training. This is the only place where it was good to be dumb. This is the only time where it was like, yes, I didn't study. So now I don't have all of these walls to break down. I just have to be built up right. There's nothing like building on a wrong foundation. People are tearing down while you're building up. So don't be frustrated if you didn't know. You learning at the right time. And I love the NLT version of that same scripture. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Most people, when they quote that scripture, they think it's talking about money. Blessed are the poor. He literally says, blessed are the poor in, not money. Stop being so kingdom. He tells you what he's talking about. Stop. Blessed are the ones who do not have a wealth in the spirit yet. Because they're going to be able to get this. This is not going to take them tearing down religion. They already lost it. They never picked it up. So this one is for them. He says they realize they need him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. I want you to write this down, and this is a very potentially controversial statement, but it is so true. And I want you to hear this. We have preached the message of Jesus Christ, but not the message Jesus Christ preached. I'm going to say it one more time. As the body of Christ, we have preached the message of Jesus Christ, but not the message Jesus Christ preached. We've literally been pointing at Jesus, 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 Jesus. And that is our way into the kingdom. But he even says, and I can't even touch on this. He says, I'm the door. Oh my God. He literally said, I'm the door into the... What if we went to the mall and camped out at the door? Oh God. All the stores, all the technology, all the clothes, and we like, y'all, we made it. Praise be the door. In the door's name. Everybody get to the door. I know, I already know. I know. But what we do is say, door, we love you. Door, we worship you. Door, there's nobody like you. Say his name, door. And he said, I'm important, but me, without all this, is incomplete. Why would you camp out on the door and I'm trying to give you a shopping spree? You're seeing people come out with bags, but you shouting at the door. Oh, hey, woo! Woo! Ain't got nothing. Ain't got nothing to give nobody. Woo! Ain't got $2 to rub together. Woo! But I found the door. No wonder nobody want what you got. You ain't got nothing. You've been standing at the door, but there's more. You've been standing at the door, but I came to tell you, there's more. He didn't come just to give you salvation. That was the door into the kingdom. Okay. We're going to get a lot of emails about that. The truth anyhow. Argue with your mammy. All right, here we go. I'm just getting ignorant right now because I feel the rise of a holy rebellion coming up on the inside of me. There's some people on the inside that said, I can't do this church thing no more. I can't just shout for no reason. I gotta see some tangible proof in my life. Matthew chapter 4:17, you need to star this in your Bible. You need to highlight it. This is a scripture that you will come back to for the rest of your life. This is Jesus's first message. And I'm saying it every week so you get how he began his ministry. And saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Somebody say, it's here.
It's here.
God, Jesus, in heaven, talking about the plan to save and expand earth. You got to go. I don't want to go, but you got to go. Okay, why I got to go? Because they need to see the kingdom. Well, they can't see all of this, but when they see you, they see all of this. So you go be born like them, but live opposite than them. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. I am the way, the truth. Come on, y'all, help me. I just want it to actually make sense. So go show them how to do it. And then, because they won't get it when you show them, I want your first words to be explicit instructions. Repent. Turn from what you've been doing. Okay? Why? Why should I stop doing this? Why should I stop cheating? Why should I stop lying? Why should God? It's done good for me so far. I'm not even going to appeal to your flesh and address your individual issues. Because me, if I was there and I was like, repent, and they was like, why? Well, because, and I would start listening. He said, the reason is higher than your hangups. Repent. Why? Because the kingdom, this new country, this new way of living, it's here. So he started his ministry, and I know that the claps were like, is this what we came for? All right, Jesus. JC, great. And he keeps preaching the same message because I find it in Matthew 24, verse 14. Everybody was trying to figure out how he's going to overthrow everything and do everything and take over and let the kingdom come. He said, and the good news about what? The kingdom. Like, I need everybody to see that this is not the good news about prosperity, not the good news about healing, not the good news about prophecy, not the good, all of those things come a part of the. But the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And after all nations hear it, then the end will come. I said it on the first week, but I want to say it again. Unpack your bags. Because this is the first message series you've ever heard about the kingdom. The whole earth hasn't heard this message because the whole church hasn't heard this message. This is why we have to dive into this deeper so that we can help the plan of God come to pass. So unpack your bags. Jesus climbs up on the cross, says, it is finished, defeats death, hell, and the grave, and comes back. Some of y'all need to read your Bible because it's better than any movie you've ever seen. Then he comes back like, zoom, like you know, like the power-up games, you get another life, and the man just like comes again. Comes back for 40 days, but spends the majority of his time with his disciples like, look at it, die for you. Thomas, put your hand right here. Ow, just kidding, it didn't hurt. Like he was like, this is Jesus just trying to prove to his disciples, okay? But then he shares a message with them. And can you just guess what message in his last 40 days he shares with his disciples who are now going to be tasked with the audacious assignment to go into all the world and make disciples? Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Y'all, it was the message he spoke after he died. So most of us only can speak a message till we die. He said, they didn't get it. Let me bloop. The kingdom! Like, first message, kingdom. Before I die, kingdom. They ain't get it. Kingdom. It must be very important for him to resurrect himself. And the only thing he talking to his people about. Somebody shout at me, the kingdom. So I told you very simply, I'm trying to break this down in ABCs. First week, all I wanted you to do is what? See the kingdom. You are a student. I appreciate you. Put the emoji up there. See the kingdom. And after you see the kingdom, last week we talked about what? Seek the kingdom. Oh, I like this. Matthew 6:33. When we talked about seek first last week, I had one of my brothers who's just intense. After the message, he came up to me. He's like, I'm ready to seek. And my brother's intense. Like, he's done sports on a high level. He's done anything. And anytime he gets his mind on something, he's going to do it. And he came up to me really like, it was a lot of energy. It's like, you've convinced me. Let's seek. And I was like, the first thing you need to do to seek is back up. Just back up a second. Back up. And he was like, no. I want to know simply, what does it mean to seek the kingdom? And so we came up with something that I think is going to help everybody to seek the kingdom. This is a simple seek strategy, okay? Everybody write seek down on your iPhone, your iPad, or your notepad, okay? Just S-E-E-K. This is all you're going to do. I can't go into it, but I needed to give somebody practically, how do I seek the kingdom? You surrender your will. The first thing you have to do to seek is surrender your will. I don't want to do this. Shut up. I know this is hard, but Jesus even had to do it in the garden. I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will. I got one in case you need some help. But not my will, yours be done. If you're going to seek the kingdom, you got to surrender your will. Second thing, establish a time. You can't seek if you ain't got no time to. And I know in this day and age, you spend more time. Your iPhone will tell you how much time you've spent on social media. Seeking approval. Seeking a like. 6 hours and 45 minutes. And you think you good. You're down 6% from last week. And God said, it's been a year. I haven't gotten 6 minutes of seek. No. I get SOSs. Lord, please don't let her be pregnant. Oh, come on. Y'all want to be fake. Lord, please don't let them evict me. Lord, please don't let them not read that text message. Erase their phone in Jesus' name. I bind the text message I sent. Y'all know that's true. God, I thank you that the test I did not study for magically transfers. Ah, I feel your power. All high school students have done that at least twice. No, he hears the SOSs, but there hasn't been intentional time to seek. So if you're going to seek, you have to surrender your will. Everybody say, surrender your will. Establish a time. In the morning, early will I rise to seek you. Now, I want to say something that a lot of spiritual people won't say. God is not more spiritual in the morning. I know. My mom's going to hit me afterwards. Because she's up at 3 a.m. That's how I got woke up. I didn't have alarm clocks. I said, it's about 4:15, ain't it? Every morning. She'll tell you what time she get up every morning, too. This morning, I was up at 3:16. Like, I was asleep. But it don't matter because that's the time she has established. I don't care if it's at lunchtime. I don't care if it's on the toilet. Every time you go to the toilet, seek him on the throne. God, here I am. I want your kingdom on this throne. Like, all I'm saying is it can't be sporadic and be specific. And too many people want a word from God sporadically. We want to be changed sporadically. And it's like, if we can make this specific. I'll meet you every lunchtime. There's never been a time where his children set a meeting with him that he didn't show up. But there's been several times that he tried to set a meeting with us and we didn't show up. So establish a time. Second E, expect answers. If you want to seek God, this is not an eight ball that we shake up. Will I have a boyfriend? If you expect an answer from a toy made in China that has been around for 70 years, and you'll shake it again if it don't give you the right answer. Will I? I don't like that. Will I? You want to answer from that? Or do you want to answer from the King of Kings? The one who knows the number of hairs on your head. The one who actually is concerned about the details of your life. Do not pray expecting to not hear from God. Now, don't pray expecting to hear the way you want to hear. There's a difference. Because a lot of times it's like, if you would just tell me, y'all give God time limits. Some of y'all are ignorant prayers. By this time, I'm giving you an hour, God. And I think sometimes when you put a time limit on, he'd be like, all right, we're going to make sure this time will run out so you know that your ways are not my ways. And my thought, sometimes I don't even put a time at God, whenever you see fit, change this situation. But if you would do that, I'm telling you, it would change the way you approach God. You would go to the throne of grace. Everybody say boldly. Expect answers. So surrender your will, establish your time, expect answers. Last one, keep going. I know there's this concept in church that's like, it don't take all that. Really? At the severity of how life hits me sometimes, one little, like, if you could, that ain't gonna get it done. The Bible says, everybody say, keep going. Keep going. And I know you would rather keep going on an episode of your favorite show, watching 10 seasons of the same thing. But God said, would you keep going in prayer? Yeah. The Bible says the effectual fervent, that means the consistent prayers of righteous people, which is the second thing he says, seek first the kingdom and righteousness. If those people start praying, that type of prayer works. Somebody shout at your neighbor, keep going. If you're going to have a simple seek strategy, you got to surrender your will, establish a time, expect answers, and what? Keep going. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Keep going. Seek, and you will find. Keep going. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Somebody shout at me, keep going. Watch this. I love this part of the scripture. For everyone who asks, receives. Look at that guarantee from our Father. If you just try, you're going to get it. Oh, God. For everyone who asks, receives. Watch this. The one who seeks, what did they get? They find it. Like, God's not trying to play nobody. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Just so you can have the context in your mind. There's no maybe in this. He said, if you do it, I will. If you do it, I will. Ask, you're going to get an answer. Knock, the door's going to be open. Seek, and you will find. Now, some of you... last week when I had the young lady up here, and if you haven't watched it, it was a great illustration of you to keep pursuing and seeking the kingdom. But a lot of you were like, well, why would God hide stuff from us? I mean, if he loves us and wants us to have everything, why don't he just put it out in front? And I was talking to one of my friends, and this revelation came. Write this down. God doesn't hide things from you. He hides things for you. If it was just out for everybody to understand, you wouldn't even get the revelation you need. I heard somebody say it like this: it ain't yours until it's yours. Like you, like until you actually own it, you don't really have it. Like you could be holding it, but until you did something to get the, like, it's like my marriage. Like I said, I love Natalie when we got up on June 19th, 2010. And I told her, baby, I'm giving you everything, my flaws and my draws. Like I told her that. And I said, I love, but we've been through some stuff. And now, if anybody would try to take away from me, anybody would try to take away from me what I have sacrificed for, you would meet a different side of Pastor Mike that would end us both up in jail or dead. Let me be very clear with everybody. The reason is, she was mine when the ring went on. But now that we've been through some stuff, she mine. Like, oh God, okay. Some of us have not put enough in to our relationship with God for it to really be ours. You come on Sunday, you give, you tip God, you don't, it don't, it ain't cost you nothing. Ain't nobody ever talked about you for being out loud with your faith. Nobody's ever criticized you for actually believing. And no, my kids, don't watch that. Uh-oh. But why? It's just a, no, because I'm watching what goes into their spirits. And I know everybody, it's the highest grossing movie, but my kids will never see that movie. See, that offends most people's religion right now. But it's fiction. It's just, you know, it's just made up. It's just magical. It's just movie. And then at 16, your kid's out here messing with Ouija boards and trying to do seances. And now you're asking the church to believe God that the spirit of darkness would come out. Oh, God. You gave it to them because of peer pressure of a culture that doesn't care about you. You haven't sacrificed nothing for the kingdom. And so it ain't yours. You know them wild fanatic Christians. It's just all charismatic and just look at them. I'm an introvert. That doesn't mean you can't be fully sold out to something. You can be an introvert who is fully committed to the kingdom of God. Like, okay. I just gotta, because I feel like fighting now. I don't know what just happened to me. I almost like, okay. Like, I want to spread my feet. Because I hate how culture has made us, you can be loud about everything, and our faith gotta be quiet. You can put flags in every restaurant, and I can't put a cross in my front yard. You can do whatever you want, and I can't represent the kingdom. It is time for the rise of a holy rebellion. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight. And some of you can't even cheer about it because you're so lukewarm. You got both jerseys on. Kingdom. Culture. Kingdom front of the church people. Culture on the weekends. Kingdom for church anniversary. Culture for my birthday. It's my birthday. You so lukewarm, your husband don't even know what to tell you. You so lukewarm, your kids don't even know what to tell you. Your family don't even ask you to pray for them. Oh my God. They know you the one that go to church, but they see your Instagram. They don't even ask you to pray. They know you don't have no power. You're so lukewarm. You know everything that culture is doing and nothing that the kingdom's saying. And so when you're going through your situation, you're ready to jump on whatever bandwagon culture is on and ride that thing all the way until it drops you. And the kingdom already has all the answers. I'm ready to fight. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and this house, we will serve the Lord. I don't need everybody, but I got a bunch of riders. As for us, we gonna do this thing the King's way. I'm ready to take my jacket off. Let me zip back up. Somebody shout at me, kingdom. I hope your religious spirit is getting offended right now. I hope it is. I hope them demons in you is starting to like. I hope, because the name of Jesus will be lifted up and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord. Oh God. Hey. One more time, shout at me, kingdom. Yeah. This is the rise of a holy rebellion. White people, black people, Indian people, Hispanic people, we about Asian people, Native American. We about to rise up all over this world until the whole world hears about the kingdom. That song make more sense now. Thy kingdom come. Yeah. All right, sit down. Because we will run on to Memorial and stop traffic. Kingdom! Kingdom! Susan will be like, oh my gosh. God. Somebody's about to realize why they were born. Somebody's about to realize I am not here to just collect a paycheck and die. I was sent here by a king on assignment. And it don't matter who comes against me. If God, the king, be for me, who? Write what you want to write. Say what you want to say. Lie about him. But as for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. All right. Wusa, wusa. Wusa. Yeah. Just one more time. Shout at me. Kingdom. Ooh, it feels good. Y'all know y'all not. Y'all know like your least form is your body, right? So there's three of y'all. Oh shoot. Okay, I gotta show Alex, come here. Charles, come here. Scott, come here. Okay, just I need y'all to see this because the thing on the inside of you that's starting to shake. Scott, put your gun down. Don't come up here with your gun. It's my security. He will shoot you. He's carrying his bag all the way. Put your gun down, Scott. Okay. Just stand right here. Just right, spread out. Okay, I want you to see this, because when I'm shouting kingdom, I'm not shouting to your body. This is your body, okay? This is the least form of you. And I want to say this because culture, everything in culture. In the kingdom is opposite. So culture tells you to spend most of your time caring about what's temporary.
Yes, sir. That's good. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
This is your body. When you get saved, your body don't get saved. I wish that came with the salvation call.
Yes, sir. Yes,
hey, you just received Jesus. Your body, it ain't saved though. Because this thing, the Bible tells us, it's at war.
Yeah.
It's literally this on this earth, when we fail from kingdom, we actually fail into a state that makes us want to do the opposite of what God wants us to do. Nobody has to teach a kid to be bad.
That's true.
You have to teach them to be good. Your kids naturally are mischievous and bad. It's because of the body suit we're in. But everybody has a soul. And this is the next layer that we actually have to be able to regenerate. This is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Why you come to church? I'm speaking to your soul.
Yeah.
Why you listen to worship music? I'm speaking to your soul. Why you go to counseling? It's because you got jacked up in trauma and your soul is suffering. That's why you do this. It's for your, everybody say soul. Okay? And this is why you have to make sure you do soul care. You getting petties and manis, facials and massages, and your soul is decrepit. You won't read a book. You won't meditate. You won't call nobody when you're troubled. Your mind, will, and emotions are jacked, but you look good. Everybody think you fine. Your outfit is popping and your soul is dying. So your body, unsaved. Your soul, getting saved. That makes sense? This is why we don't stop on the journey. Because I gotta keep this thing. It'll revert back. It's like, let me just tell myself. It's like I've been working out for 2 years. And Christmas, I took 2 weeks off. And it was like me and my little squad just blew up like poof. How it take 2 years to get here and 2 weeks? This is not fair. But this is what happened to the soul. It takes more maintenance.
That's good.
This is why you have to watch what you listen to. I be going so hard on these shows and different things like that. It's not because they're bad in their essence. It's feeding your soul. Now you're comparing your wife to something you saw on a show that was fed to your mind. And now it gets down into your will. Maybe we can try that. And she don't like that. But now you have put an expectation on your marriage bed that you wouldn't even have known if you didn't open up your gates to be able to see that. Now you're dealing with a situation that's taking you towards divorce and the purpose of God for you and your spouse, not because you started with something bad, it's because you opened your gates and your soul to something you were never meant to see. Look at your neighbor and say, watch your soul. Everybody say mind. Will. And here's the big one, your emotions. Most of us, no matter how good our parents were, have to be reparented by our own selves after we heal. Now, I'm talking over a lot of people's heads right now, but I gotta say it, because your parents did the best they could with what they had, with what they knew. But the only one who fully knows you is the King. So when you find out, when you used to tell me try harder, that started something on the inside of me that made me a people pleaser, that became a workaholic, and now I don't even know how to turn that engine off and it's no longer serving me, I need the parts of me where I've been emotional to now be submitted to the King. And you call me worthy even if I don't work? If I don't achieve something else, I'm still accepted? These are things that nobody can do this for you. But if you don't even care about your soul, this is why the scriptures say stuff like this. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his what? This is the Spirit. When you give your life to Jesus, this is the only part of you that is saved. Sealed. It is Stevie Wonder. Sign, seal, I'm yours. Okay? And now the Spirit's trying to be like, so, hey, read the Bible. And the soul is like, shut up, little dude. I've been running. I mean, it would really be.
It's actually
like if Charles tried to step to Scott, Scott could kill Charles in 3 seconds. This is not something like this is what I know because the soul has been nourished. Why do we fast? It's to starve this and strengthen this. You thought it was for the body so I can lose some weight. Shut up. It's so your spirit can get strong. We don't fast for the body. We fast for our spirit. So watch this. Prove it to me, Pastor Mike. When Jesus is tempted by the devil himself, he gets tempted by the devil after 40 days of fasting. Now, why in the world would the Lord Almighty allow the showtime event of the century happen when Jesus's body, mind, will, and emotions are at its weakest?
Wow.
Help me. The body hasn't eaten for 40 days. Weak. All the mirages and all of the ideas and all of the mind, will, and emotions, weak. And then he start testing them, not with things that have anything to do with the spirit.
Yeah. Go there.
If you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Feed your body. Oh, my God. If you really are who you are, feed this. And the reason why Jesus defeats the enemy is not because his body was strong or his mind, will, and emotions were strong. He defeats the enemy because he comes to him at his weakest moment physically, but his strongest moment spiritually. He stands flat-footed and says, it is written. Flat-footed, it is written. Flat-footed, that was the spirit. Why can't we get these things out of our families and out of our lives and out of the cultural habits? It's like when the disciples tried to deliver a young boy. And the disciples was like, and they did everything. And it's like, whew. Y'all seen that meme where the woman's standing there like this? And she got the glasses on. All I see is all the disciples like, God, dog. That is a dominating demon. And they like, oh, time out. Demon over there manifesting and all that other stuff. And they like, time out, hold on, just hold on. Oh, Jesus, hold on, Jesus. Whew. Man, we really did everything that we saw you do. And I mean, I even tried the like in the name. I tried the weekend. Like I tried the like. I tried. Woo. Try to do the yeah. Demon's still there. And Jesus said, "How long do I gotta? Some things you do can't happen till you get strong in the spirit. So your body." Your flesh and your soul have been ruling. He said, what you want to come out, this kind only responds to prayer. In fact, you got to get this spirit man stronger.
That is so good.
How am I going to stop looking at porn? Not by setting 60 password traps.
Come on, that's the truth.
Because I set them. So I know all the codes. It just will take me longer. Come on, y'all. But if I said it, I can unset it. What? I got accountability in China, accountability in Canada, accountability of district. If you want to do something, how am I going to stop watching porn? Not just by sitting here just like, I'm not going to watch porn. I'm not going to do it. Time to go to sleep. What are you doing? I'm going to have like an X-rated church version because some of y'all need to hear it really raw. What are those? Well, wow. That you, Holy Spirit? I got to chill. Okay, thank you, Charles. You can't meditate that away. You have to get strong in your spirit, man. God tells us there's no temptation that you will ever come up against that I will not give you a way of escape. The problem is many of us see the way of the escape and we're not strong enough to take it. Lord, if I'm not supposed to do that, let something happen. Car blow up. And you still like, nah, I'm gonna go sin. Girl, hold on, I'm on my way. You lost the limb. We be asking God to send a way of escape, and he does. And your soul and your body be dragging your spirit. Get over here. Get over here. What's that, Mortal Kombat? Get over here. Oh, God. All I'm trying to say to you is the reason God says seek first the kingdom is the kingdom message is a message for your spirit. The reason why when I say kingdom, something on the inside of you rumbles and you feel like I'm supposed to do something with that. I don't know what it is yet, but because I'm talking to the only version of you that will last. The kingdom is eternal. So when this passes away and this passes away, the only thing that will return to heaven is your spirit. And we have spent most of our time doing what culture says, care about the body. Do whatever you want to do with your soul. They say stuff like this, do you. Live your truth. That's the dumbest thing anybody could ever. Your truth? But do whatever feels right to your soul. Just connect with yourself. And just do whatever, you know, the vibe is right. Oh, I just like this vibe. That could be gas. Like, let's just be honest about it. It could be a scent in the atmosphere. It's like, that smells good. That's not a vibe. And ignore your spirit. And if we were to show an actual version of many of your spirit, they would be skeleton with skin hanging off of it. Because you feed it once a week. You come here for 2.5 hours and you're frustrated because of parking. So you're not even checked in half the time. And you're at home distracted. You didn't even set a time for this. And you expect your spirit to eat on that for the next 7 days if you come back next week. So 14 days, one meal. This week, live sermon illustration in your house. Eat today and don't eat for the next 14 days. Check with your doctor first. You would think that person is crazy. except you do it spiritually your entire life. This kingdom method is to feed your spirit. I don't care what your body says. I'm ADHD. I just can't sit still. Tell your body. Sit your butt right. Go to your car and put your seatbelt on. I'm just saying, like, my spirit needs this. I don't fully understand it. My mind, my will, and emotions, I want to do something else. But my spirit needs this. I got so derailed. Yeah. Is this helping anybody? Okay. The series just got extended. Okay, here we go. So I wanted you to see the kingdom, seek the kingdom, and then I told you this week, which I ain't done yet, that we were gonna talk about share. So you are an A student, you listen. Everybody say share the kingdom. And so, like, when I put this up, like, my original thought on it, put the emoji behind me, because it was like, see the kingdom, and then I was like, seek the kingdom, like the magnifying glass, because I wanted it to be simple, like just a child could get it. And then it was like, share the kingdom. And like, I went back to my old, like, church pastor ways, and I was like, oh yeah, we're supposed to share the kingdom. We're supposed to tell people about the kingdom. We need to evangelize. We need to invite people to church. We need to share the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit arrested me. He said, it's time for you to change the emoji. Have you ever changed your emoji? You're about to send something. And the Holy Spirit said, change the emoji. I had to change the emoji because I thought it was like, share the gospel. God said, Michael, they can't share the kingdom because they have not shared in the kingdom yet. And I was like, what? He said, you can't share the kingdom. Write it down. Until you claim your share of the kingdom. He said, you trying to get people to share something they ain't even partook of. And so what we end up doing is just inviting people to church. Come to my church. Why? Because it'll be great. I'm like, I can come to your church because it'll be great. Ain't it online? Okay, I'll watch it. I'll drink a beer and watch it. Like, I'll smoke weed and watch it. People doing that right now. What's up? I love you. You welcome here. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is, like, until we claim and partner with God and share the kingdom, we can't share the kingdom. You can't share a part of something you don't have. And so God said, change the emoji to partnership. I want you to teach them how to share. Partner with me. Anytime back in the day, there was a deal when your word meant something that you didn't need paper to sign to make sure somebody did what they said, when your yes was yes and your no was no, how they would solidify it, they would handshake. And they said, we're partners now. God is asking everybody who gets saved to not just stay at salvation. He wants you to graduate to partner. Oh my gosh. This is why people don't understand. If you're a lawyer, you work all those years as a paralegal, doing all the paperwork. And what everybody's trying to become is a partner. Because when you're a partner, you get to share in the money that's made in cases you don't even have to work. You get a piece of everything the firm gets. That's why everybody's not a partner. Some of y'all don't understand this. But the reason why you do all the grunt work is to get to the place where you're shaking hands and you say, Schusterman, Smith, and Todd. Y'all see how some of y'all been in trouble with the law, so y'all know. Call the lawyer, and it be like names. Schusterman, I don't know, it just feels like a good lawyer's name. Schusterman, Smith, and Todd, I just put myself in there. All of those people are partners. And God's saying, you just want to go and share and tell somebody about Jesus, and I want you to actually be able to change somebody's situation. You want to say, I'll pray about that. And I want you to be able to solve the problem. You comfortable with saying, oh my gosh. Like, this is the difference between somebody who understands the kingdom and somebody who's a Christian. Ooh, I'm in dangerous territory right now. But Christians want God to solve the problem. Kingdom citizens have been given authority by God to solve the problem. Okay. We should be in such a level of dominion on this earth that some stuff we don't gotta pray about. We have a homeless issue. Who owns the houses? We don't gotta, let's build a community. But right now, you're thinking the church should do that. Who, I need to be able to say, Charles, Aaron, Scott, Carl, everybody put in $200,000. We about to build 5 houses and we're gonna give them away in 2 years. Y'all, watch this. Y'all pray about if God is asking you to be a part of this, not if you can do it. My God, please help me help them. We're praying, God, help us be able to. We should be praying, God, is this for me to do? Oh, God, it's going to take me a minute. It's so crazy, Trav, I only found that you was going to be here this week. But earlier this year, we were able to sow into another church $1 million. Now watch this. Don't clap yet. Because sowing the $1 million into Forward City was the seed. I told the team before we gave the $1 million away, we're going to do this. And by faith, we're going to do another one before the end of the year. We were able to, at Christmas time, sow into another church right up the street, City Church Tulsa, $1 million. Now, this stuff is the stuff that ain't nobody going to write about. This is the stuff ain't nobody going to make a YouTube video about. This is the stuff, and we don't care because God didn't bless us to get applause. He blessed us to show people what, everybody say, kingdom. Looks like. So before we gave the money away, and this wasn't like, man, you know, we gave you $1 million, so let me speak at your conference. You know, you remember that little thing we slid you? Really trying to figure out how this can come back and benefit the both of us. That's called manipulation. Oh, God. Okay. At Transformation Church, we give just to give and not to get. Before we gave it away, we had already cleared with the board. 2023, we're giving away $5 million to other churches. You don't even know how to clap about it because it's not culture. You would clap louder if I told you I bought everybody tickets to the Thunder game. And we don't even win right now. But if I say everybody in their family, we got charter buses, and I'm taking everybody to the Thunder game. Y'all, I just said that a church, a nonprofit, is going to give $1 million to 5 other organizations. And we don't even, I understand. Because somewhere in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what's the catch? Because you've never seen kingdom. You've never seen it. There's always a Bugatti in the background. I'm stealing the church's money to buy this Aztec jacket. And that's what we have done culturally. And so people always think there's a string attached with the... And that's why we have to continue to represent. We're going to be here every week showing people what the kingdom looks like. And the kingdom, we love our enemies. Come on, let's be honest. We pray for those who despitefully use you. God. You can pray with gritted teeth, Lord. Bless them dummies. But in the kingdom, we have a different code of conduct. Christians can do whatever they want. Oh God. Christians do stuff like say stuff that, don't judge me. He ain't done with me yet. As an excuse to do something that's outside of the context of our kingdom citizenship. You're not a kingdom citizen, you're a Christian. And that's fine. I'm just praying at some point you graduate from a Christian to being a part of the kingdom. All right. No, I can't keep it coming. We'll be here another hour if I start. No, because y'all, your friends talk about us when we do that. No. Y'all don't be defending. Y'all don't be saying nothing. Y'all be like, yeah, that is right. Shut up. Nope. No. Mm-mm. Just stop it. You got me out here looking dumb. King dumb. Trying to change your mind. I'm trying to change your mind. Golly. Okay, watch this. Write this down. God's plan from the beginning has always been partnership. He made us to be his partners. And this is gonna come against the low self-esteem in the body of Christ. I don't know, I'm humbled to be here. I'm humbled to be here. I was made to be here. I was created to be here. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew me. He wanted me. Like, that false humility crap, that's got to leave this church. Y'all know in the church, y'all just pray for me. That I'm about to, I'm not praying for you when you're about to sing. I'm about to listen to you sing. And if you did not rehearse, sit down. Stop doing the stuff that is trying to. No, if God gives me a mic, I got something to say. If God gives me a platform, I'm supposed to be up there. If God gives me children, I got within me what it is to raise them. If God gives me a church, I'm supposed to lead it. His plan was partnership. And if you don't accept the partnership of God, you miss out on God's original plan for, watch this word, I'm going to talk about it next week, dominion. I don't even have the time to give you what this word actually means, but it is a part of the first instruction of humanity. Oh my God, y'all don't even believe me. Just stop. I'm gonna just read you this scripture and then we'll, cause I'm, oh God. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Partnership, let me just stick on partnership. Oh, God. Somebody say, I'm God's partner. I didn't say we're God's partner. Because everybody feels like they can partner with God if they got the right squad. But I need you to individually claim with all of your not knowing, with all of your flaws, with your quirky attitude, with your mistakes in your past. Somebody say, I'm God's partner. He chose me. Oh my God. You know what? Sometimes I don't feel qualified to get up here and speak, but I get in the mirror before I come out here and I'll be like, Mike, you're God's partner. He chose you and he can use you because your heart is right. Somebody say, I'm God's partner. And some of y'all don't believe that, so I'm going to show you in the Bible. And since Romans 8:17, and since we are his children. How many children of God do I have in the room right here? Okay, we love that one. And since we are his children, by right, we are his heirs. So if he a king, I'm royalty? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And since we are his children, how many children of the Lord do I have in the building and online? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. We love that. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. Let me tell you who he says you are. Not just a child. We are heirs. We don't understand that term because the term heir talks about passing on kingdom or inheritance to generations. And because we usually leave our families broke, we just trying to get above debt and get some heir instead of having heirs. And so I'm going to teach you a new term. Everybody say, I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
Ooh, this going to be a new swag for you all week. He says, in fact, together with Christ, partners, we are heirs of God's glory. God's glory gets seen when I take my place on the earth as his heir. Oh, God. Everyone loves the child of God. But where are the heirs? They don't even know how to respond. You don't even know. I said, where are the heirs of the kingdom of God? The thing about heirs is heirs have rights. Watch this. And heirs have responsibility. When you're an heir, it is your job to keep the thing moving. Okay. Being a child is about identity. Being an heir is about authority. Okay. Bella could say, Michael Todd's my daddy. And that's how she identifies herself. But we could have no relationship. So my identity is connected to her, but she's not an heir because she knows nothing about what I possess. It's only in relationship with her daddy that she knows that she can walk up to a machine full of snacks and say, Daddy, I want that and that. How does she have the authority to not ask for it, but to know because of our relationship and the type of father I am, that she can walk up to something that she does not have access to and decide, what do I want? Oh my God. Some of y'all gotta get the authority that you're a king's kid. What house do I want? What building do I want? What family do I wanna help? Oh God. What church building am I gonna buy? Where am I going on vacation? Like, the problem is you're a child of God. You haven't claimed being an heir. Oh, God. Bella, come here. They only gonna get this if I show them. Okay. This will be good. This is where we're gonna end. Yep. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Girl, you're so cute today. You all right? Thank you. This is my oldest daughter, Isabella Monet Todd. She looks like her mama, and she has my whole heart. Okay, Bells, can you ask Pastor Travis to come up here? Now, I want you to notice everything she does. She didn't ask me why. She didn't ask me to explain to her what my plan was. She didn't ask me for a plan map of the next 60 seconds so she can prepare her spirit for what's about to happen. I said, Bella, do something, and without hesitation, get up here. My idea was implanted into her, but her obedience and her understanding her authority made a grown man move from his seat. Okay. Bella, give Pastor Travis his shoes. What does that mean? Give Pastor Travis the shoes. What shoes? I'm glad you asked. The shoes that I bought for him, bring them here, that you didn't know I had for him, but all I need you to do is give him what wasn't currently in your hand. But I told you before I gave you what you needed to do. So what? Her response is, what shoes? It wasn't, I don't have any. By faith. Everybody shout at me, by faith. She knew there was some shoes. Even if she didn't have them yet. Somebody say, what shoes? When God says something to you, we usually shut it down. Because we don't see it. My daughter has been around her father long enough to know if I say that I got something, all she's trying to say, where is that? What shoes? And without her moving, without her worrying, without her stretching, just being in right standing or righteousness with her father. Yeah, look what she said. She said, give it to me. She's looking for instructions. There's thousands of people watching her. Who's she looking at? Everything she needs is found in her father. Go give Pastor Travis. Happy birthday, bro. I just wanted to, those are some little special things that, you know what I'm saying, that I got for you. I love you. Y'all give it up for Pastor Travis. Great. What'd you say? Do I leave? The steps of a good man or a good woman are what? Or she's waiting for the orders. This is what life in the kingdom looks like. She has not moved because she has not gotten over. And you planning to move to Miami this summer? Because you got a piece about it? Don't move until you get what? Order. Y'all give it up for Bella. You can go now, baby. Ooh. It feels like somebody's getting an idea about what it looks like to live in the kingdom. I'm about to take my jacket off. I'm telling you, this thing. Hey. Sit back up. God. Last point. Take your share and be an heir. If every child of God is supposed to now share as an heir, will you take your spot? Like, there are things, Linda, that can't happen on this earth till you take up your space. Brother Delano, there's nothing that God would withhold from those who actually will do what he wants to be done. That's what he tells us. But he's looking for somebody to say, yeah, I own a trucking company, but this is just a place where the kingdom can be expanded. Yeah. We're going to do everything God told us to do in the natural so that we can be a conduit for his kingdom to come as it is in heaven. Let it be here on earth. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? Take your share. Be an heir. Don't settle for just child of God. Become royal. Put on your robe. Change your clothes. Take off guilt and shame. And take off poverty. And take off. Put on the fruit of the Spirit. Take your share and be an heir. I think about people who practically invest in companies. Just start just padding behind me because I got to get out of here. Y'all, I'm on page 3 of my notes. So today it ain't going to happen. But I feel like God did what he wanted to do today. I feel like he did what he wanted to do today. People who invest in a company, they're actually called partners of that company. And what happens is whenever somebody invests into that company, when that company grows, everybody who has shares, their shares expand. When you share in the kingdom, as the kingdom of God expands, my share of the kingdom, that's when they say stuff like lengthen your tent, open up your tent, lengthen your cords. Like, these are scriptures of expansion. Oh God. God's saying, it's been hard for me to do my will on the earth because you've still been thinking too little. I'm searching the whole world for somebody who would believe that I can actually do what I told you I would do. And you won't even tell your spouse because you don't want them to judge you. I'm not special, y'all. The only reason I'm standing here is because I decided I am not just going to be a child of God. I'm going to be an heir. And as soon as I stepped into my king dominion, my kingdom, that's what I'm going to teach y'all next week. I'm going to teach a message next week called Destined for Dominion. Like, the reason I was born was to dominate on this earth. I know some of y'all, this is too much for you. I know. But just read Genesis 1:26 this week and get your spirit prepared. I'm not here to be depressed. I'm not on this earth to actually just be in delusion. I was put here on purpose to have dominion. Next week. But this week, you can't have dominion in the kingdom if you won't even claim your share of your royalty? Standing all over this building and in your home. I'm not just a child of God. I am an heir of the kingdom. Oh my gosh. So when I say thy kingdom come, I'm saying, God, what you planned on earth, bring it down here. And when you bring it down here and it keeps expanding, all of us get to join in what God's doing. That's why we shout about salvations. Because the kingdom of God is expanding. Woo, I feel the presence of God in this place. God, hands lifted everywhere. Just take this moment in your home, in this room. God, I'm praying right now for every person under the sound of my voice, that they would take their rightful place in your kingdom. I come against the spirit that comes literally to make us feel unworthy. Yep. Our mistakes, our past, the things we did knowingly, the things that happened to us, the things that stole our innocence, the things, Father, that we used to try to feel good in this crazy world. God, asking you right now to take all of those things and trade us. Father God, give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Father, let us accept our rightful place in the kingdom as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Today, our name has changed. Today, our allegiance has changed. Today, what culture has told us that we have to grind and hustle and work for, it is a part of what comes with the kingdom. Change our minds. Renew our minds. Give us your thoughts. Father, this week I'm asking you to rest on our praise. As we begin to shout and praise, because we have an inheritance. Oh my gosh. Not just physically here, our spirit is about to come alive in another way, because God, you have so much for us that we have yet to explore. Let us continue to seek the kingdom. And let us take up our space and be everything you've called us to be. Today, God, thank you for calling us your partner. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Transformation Church, us, with all of our baggage. Lord, why would you do this? You're just that good. Because you're just that God. Today, God, we honor you and we bless you. In that same attitude, if you're in this room or you're watching online, I need the church to begin to pray. And you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today you can become a child of God. And wait, there's more. You can become an heir of the kingdom of God in one fatal decision. This is the greatest decision you could ever make. It took me from being a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was addicted to pornography, had all kinds of manipulation in my heart, and it did not make me a perfect man, but man, it took me on a road of progression, and who I am today is only because of the grace of God. If you are in this room, or you're watching online, or you're watching on rebroadcast, or somebody sent this to you 20 weeks into the future, today is the day of salvation. And you have a printed invitation into the kingdom of God. If you're saying, I no longer want to live my life for me, and I want to be a part of something that is way bigger than anything I think I qualify for, today I want to let you know that your eternity can be secure, but that's just the beginning. This ain't about not going to hell. This is about living a life that makes heaven come to earth. And today I want to give you our King. His name is Jesus. And he came here to die on a cross for all of your sins and my sins so that we could live here free. And today I'm going to give you that opportunity. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. If you're in your house, at your cubicle, if you're in the room, just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and tell us everything you did last Thursday. I'm not going to do that. Religious people want you to do that because they want some type of measuring stick to make sure they're better than you. But the foot of the cross is even. Whether you're a homosexual, whether you do little white lies, whether you drink all the time and get drunk, it don't matter. At the foot of the cross, we all here. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory, and we need Jesus. Today, I want to offer you a relationship, a partnership with the King of Kings. And if that's you, we want to pray with you. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm excited for you, but that has nothing compared to your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life for all of eternity. Three, if you want to receive Jesus, lift your hands up all over this auditorium. All at home, oh, y'all. Oh, Transformation, I see a whole row of people at home, online. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Hey, at Transformation Church, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. So everybody, let's lift our hands and pray this prayer. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I repent from my old ways and I turn to you. Thank you for making room for me in the kingdom. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. And today, I give you my life. I'll serve you, I'll love you, and I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. For everybody who prayed that prayer, oh church, let's turn up. The kingdom just expanded. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to text the number on the screen. And we want to send you some information and we want to walk with you. I am so grateful that God has given us a church where we can not just listen to the method of the Bible, but we can preach the message of Jesus. Next week, our church anniversary, if you're driving in town, if you're flying in, get here early. We gonna turn all the way up. Ain't no party like a transformation party. Because a transformation party is gonna stop around 2 o'clock, but we are gonna have a great time. We can't wait to see you here. Hug somebody and just tell them, thy kingdom come.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Our vision is to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282 or visit us on our website. Also, be sure to like, subscribe, and check out our other sermons as well. Our service begins every Sunday at 10:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now go out and live a transformed life.